Greetings and welcome to Trottle Up. This is a radio show and podcast that showcases critical thinking and complex problem solving. And it is designed to inform, delimit, empower, and amaze. Now, all aboard the Trottle Up Express, powered by High Velocity Reason, and I am your host, Captain Kevin Smith, U.S. Navy retired. Now, I'm a naval aviator and former squadron commander and Top Gun instructor as a naval aviator. And also, I'm a pioneer in the field of some aspects of critical thinking and complex problem solving, and of course, high velocity reason. Now, our tagline for the show is to accelerate beyond the ordinary. So we could say that we are not ordinary thinkers, you and I, but we are different and we are out of the box thinkers. Our motto for the show is to employ high velocity reason to achieve high octane performance. And in a nutshell, that basically means to stay out ahead of the problem. That's particularly important if we want to achieve success. Now, our mission statement for the show, and this changes a little bit from time to time, but this is a pretty good mission statement, is to provide our listening audience with a relatively easy yet effective way to strengthen our power of reason through the employment of critical thinking. Now, our website, the address here is throttleupradio.com. That's throttleupradio.com. That's the address for the website. And before we close on our introduction, I wanted to say that our audio engineering services is provided by Evergroove Studios, and they are located in Evergreen, Colorado, which is right outside of Denver on the west side. Highly recommend their services for anyone who wants to get involved with audio. It could be any kind of audio that you might have in mind, including music, by the way. Also, graphics artist services and media support is provided by Reflections Printing, and the gal is Jennifer. She heads up this organization, and she owns it as well. And Jennifer does a great job with all of our media support, is a fantastic graphics artist and media production specialist, and her phone number is 435-574-0422. That's 435-574-0422. And before we close the introduction, I want to say that the show is typically organized into three parts. So part one of Throttle Up is critical thinking, or an ongoing discussion of various aspects of critical thinking and complex problem solving. Part two is our storyboard, and the storyboard is a story of America, or a story of Americans, story of an individual. It could be any kind of story, but it all relates to trying to get our arms around this whole thing, which we call critical thinking and complex problem solving. And then part three is our radio essay. Now, our radio essay is typically a little bit more in-depth treatment of a particular subject. We do not intend for this to be boring. But for those who would like a little bit more info on certain things that we cover in part one and part two, then part three typically is a way for us to get a little bit further into a subject matter and understand it better. Okay, all aboard the Throttle Up Express. This is a place where all critical thinkers and complex problem solvers are welcome with open arms. and welcome back to Throttle Up. And this is a radio show that embraces all critical thinkers with open arms. Throttle Up is all about critical thinking and its various applications and manifestations in the world of thought, in the world of doing things. And one of the applications that is sort of like, you know, coming front and center into the world, onto the world stage, is complex problem solving. You know, we've talked about this at great length on previous shows, but it's particularly important. It's important for many reasons. We try to spell out some of those reasons on this show and what we are trying to do about it, either individually or as together with our colleagues or business partners or what have you, or those of us or those that are in military organizations also, that becomes particularly important as we go forward. And so when we say critical thinking and complex problem solving, we're really talking about this world of thought, or we're talking about, well, you know, there's a couple of terms that we use. Some of them are somewhat popular, or some of them are in use, some of them are new. But this whole world of thought, ideas, innovation, creativity, whatever, this is what we're trying to deal with. We're trying to deal with how humans think, how they reason about things, and how they go about finding solutions to the most pressing problems of today. How do they smooth out the rough spots? How they create a viable, productive, and happy workplace? There's all kinds of things. You know, the list really is kind of, you know, goes on and on. It's kind of endless. All kinds of things that we are dealing with, essentially, as critical thinkers, we're dealing with on a daily basis. It also deals with the socioeconomic environment that we live in. It deals with the world of politics right now that tends to be somewhat distasteful for many of us, including me. It deals with socioeconomic conditions, not only within this country, but globally, and that's particularly important. And it deals with lots of things that that are important in our lives, that are germane in our experience here and now as members of a modern industrial society. And so, you know, we can put that into some perspective. There's a number of terms for that. There are modern industrial societies in the world. There are second-tier countries that are somewhat industrialized, and then there's third-tier countries that are really quite primitive. And I'm not saying that really in a derogatory sense as much as a realistic description of humanity across the globe. I do think that we, as members of a modern industrial society, we have some, I guess, some responsibility to think about the rest of the world and think about this planet that we live on and what, if anything, is meaningful for us to consider. Okay, so what about the show for this week? First thing I'd like to do is to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This is our last show for this year. We are taking actually a couple of weeks off, going away. We're going to be spending Christmas with our family, extended family, actually. We're going to be spending Christmas with our extended family at a vacation spot. And so we are taking 2 weeks off, and we'll be back with a fresh show on first week in January. In the meantime, we have 2 weeks where we'll do some repeats. There are some special edition throttle ups that we have produced that are in the can. They're also available on podcasts. So if anybody wants to take a look at the all of the shows that are on podcast format, you can go to our website, throttleupradio.com, and click on the podcast, and you'll find it and download it and listen to it. And I would encourage all of you to do so. There's some particularly interesting shows. I would say if you're looking for something that has enduring value, then check out our shows that we call special editions. They are, I think, particularly germane to what's going on. They have lasting importance. They're not just talking about the politics of the moment. Now, sure, a lot of the stuff that we discuss here has some political components to it, relates somewhat to the politics of today, of the day, is a better way of saying that. But they also have some enduring value. I think they're particularly important as we consider our actual lives in terms of, let's say, economic performers. We are engaged in some kind of economic activity, whether it's full-time, part-time, whether it's as a hobby or as a livelihood, it doesn't matter. There's all kinds of things that we can do. I know that there's a number of a growing number of people who have gotten into the realm of authoring books that are published by some publishing house. And I mean, the list is endless. You could go on and on. So we are engaged in some activity that brings us purpose. And with respect to that, how do we go about this engagement? Not what we do, but how do we do it? How do we go about it? And our point here on Throttle Up, our whole reason for existence is to take a meaningful look at how do we do things, particularly how do we think, or how do we think about things? Not what do we think about, but how do we think about things? And so I think that's important as we go forward in our lives. It's important as we strive to become better thinkers. And I believe that we all should be striving to become better thinkers. I know I do on a regular basis, interested in. I have a lot of intellectual curiosity in that field of how to be a better thinker as we go forward. What are the things that I can do to improve my ability to think and to improve my ability to reason analytically instead of we're not really taught how to reason except through the process of what I call ad hoc reasoning. So spur of the moment, dealing with things that were portrayed as being a one-off event, a singular event, and there actually is no such thing. It is actually convenient often for us to think of that, of our experiences in the world, our experiences and others in the world as being one-off events, but they're not. They're decidedly not. There's a significant body of knowledge that actually proves that they are not. They are actually no coincidences. Everything has a reason for existing. Everything comes from some place. They just don't occur spontaneously in the environment, or they don't just occur spontaneously in what we consider to be reality. But ad hoc reasoning is, of course, fairly popular. Why is that? Well, I guess you could say that the reason why it is that we are I would include myself in that group of people that need to improve their ability to think. I am a lifelong student of critical thinking, and so I'm always trying to improve and to optimize how we go about considering things. And I think the reason why we engage in ad hoc reasoning is because it just seems to be easier. It's quicker. We don't have a lot of time, but we always seem to have time to redo something that happens to be wrong in the first place, but we never have time to do it right in the first place. It's kind of a sad commentary on human thought processes. But anyway, so part one of Throttle Up is, of course, a continuing discussion of critical thinking. And in this discussion, I want to talk a little bit about what we call argumentation. What does it mean to create an argument, and how do you go about creating a winning argument? All right, so let's look at it from the perspective of a process. How do you go about creating a winning argument, and how do you examine the existence of another's argument? And I'm looking at it from the perspective of there is a fairly significant argumentation package that has been produced and is being distributed by what I would call the social justice warriors. And the social justice warriors have joined themselves with the feminist movement. And so I'm going to call this thing the feminist-inspired social justice warriors. And what is their argumentation package? And how did they come up with it? Why does it exist? And what are they trying to achieve? Okay, so we will talk, and the reason why we're doing this is, it's pretty straightforward. The reason is the growing popularity of Jordan Peterson, and we can say that a large part of his popularity is as the result of his engagement with the social justice warriors, and how he was able to engage them in a discussion, and how they were not able to defeat him or defeat his argument, and how he was able to pick their argument apart piece by piece and show its weaknesses, show its fallacies. Another way of saying that is show its logical fallacies and stuff like that. And so we'll talk a little bit about that on this show, and then we'll discuss it more on future shows. All right. So what is this feminist-inspired social justice warrior information package? Okay, well, it could be described as a set of grievances, okay, an articulated litany of complaints. So they have formally issued or filed, if you like the legal term, they have filed a complaint in the court of public opinion. And their complaint can read something like this. All the ills and shortcomings that we experience today in our current society, and particularly our American society, are the result of the tyrannical patriarchy. That's their argument. And these human rights abuses are, they fall into the following categories. Equal pay, there is not equal pay for equal work, in their view. There is not, in their view, equal representation within the senior executive ranks of the businesses in this country. There is a lack of child care, and there's discrimination against women who have offspring. There is the abortion availability issue that keeps coming up. This availability of on-demand abortions is being threatened, and they are against that. There is the right to vote that was only granted to females by a short time ago, although it was really quite some time ago, but it was a historical fact. They are dead set against white privilege in all its forms. They want to increase taxation on the rich. They want massive wealth redistribution to those, especially those who are most needy. And, of course, the ownership of private property they disagree with. And everything to them is unequal, unfair, and it is the power versus the subservient class. In their view, the world is binary, consisting of those that have things and those that do not have things. And it's an either-or cognitive orientation. And they employ simplistic relationships to establish the plausibility of a grievance. And they do that, and this whole issue is based upon a argumentation strategy. You can say, okay, is it strategized? Is it something that is premeditated? Is it something that is rehearsed? Is it a cognitive mechanism that they are employing that seems to have worked in the past? Are they continuing to employ it today in this modern world? And what exactly is it? In other words, how did it come about? How is it that they are creating these arguments that there is something seriously defective with the American culture and the American socioeconomic system? And their point of view is that not only is the American socioeconomic system seriously defective, but they have a solution in hand, a so-called tried-and-true solution in hand to correct these deficiencies and these defects, thereby eliminating the grievances that exist out there among all of the disadvantaged groups. And lo and behold, we have a living, breathing utopia. All right, so that's their position. How did they come about this position, where did it come from and where is it going? All right. That is particularly important as critical thinkers. We need to be able to consider those three questions, and we need to be able to get our arms around those three questions and begin to comprehend it at a deeper level, comprehend it at a broader level, or look at it from a level of abstraction that gives us the ability to see beyond the clutter. And that's particularly important. And so a lot of this stuff is sort of like incomprehensible because it's all sort of like cluttered and confusing. Now, we talked about this last week in great detail, but one of the key aspects of critical thinking is, of course, clarify the actual. And so we need to be able to rise above the clutter and the turmoil. So we need to get to a higher level of mental abstraction. We need to raise ourselves up from a cognitive perspective. Let us get above the fray and look at it, utilizing a bird's eye view, look at it more completely, more from a systematic level or a systems level. How is it that they have constructed this approach to social justice, and where is it going? All right, so the first thing is to consider what their assertion is. All right, their assertion consists of a couple of things. Number one is they are articulating or asserting a particular defect or deficiency or degradation, and so they are issuing a grievance in the court of public opinion. They have formally issued a grievance, and what is their grievance and how did they come up with it? What does it consist of? What are the components of the grievance? And how was it generated? All right. So the first thing is how. The grievance was and is generated from this domain that we call currently, the domain is called neo-Marxism. Neo-Marxism comes from Marxism, which comes from communism. Now, they're all pretty much the same with some different labels, although there are some minor differences in neo-Marxism, because neo-Marxism considers the world not just distinctly separated into two classes, but separated into a number of classes or grievance groups. Each group has its own grievance, and everybody is jockeying for power, and the power then sets the agenda, or whoever is in power sets the agenda, sets the mode of thought, and everybody else follows suit. So their paradigm is the thought masters and the thinking slaves. So it's a master-slave relationship, and that's what they believe in. And that's what they're putting forth. Now, they don't say it that way. They couch it in more humanistic terms. They couch it in more emotional terms. They will bring in to the argument always they will bring into the argument that there is the virtue in their position. Their position is more virtuous than other positions, or their position is more virtuous than your position. If you happen to disagree with them, they will always bring that argument forth. So their argumentation strategy can be identified with some critical thought. And once you and I understand their argumentation strategy, then it's pretty easy to pick it apart and to look at it objectively. And so how does one engage a social justice warrior that's in the process of presenting their grievance or in the process of presenting their litany of grievances so as to establish their position, which is that the current system is defective and in need of repair, and we have the solution by which it can be repaired. That is their argument in a nutshell. And how do we defeat that, or how do we confront that in a meaningful way so as to collapse their argument? Okay, first and foremost is that an argument is a conceptual structure. And so we have to understand it from a conceptual structure standpoint, or structurally. Their argument exists on a structure. Is their argument structurally stable? No, it's not, because a lot of it is made up. It's not structurally stable. It doesn't comply with anything that can give it stability. Now, what would give it stability? It would be, let's say, conceptually sound. It would be logical. It would be based on some kind of coherent understanding of something. It could be scientifically grounded. It could be mathematically supported. It could be analytically supported. It could be all manner of things. They will, however, bring forth surveys and public opinion surveys. That's a fairly typical weapon that they have. A lot of these surveys are made up. They're not factual. They are produced by parochial interests and so forth. And so you pretty much can discount the surveys, because a survey could be skewed all manner of ways. It could be biased. A survey is not necessarily intellectually non-biased unless you have some kind of a random system, might even be some kind of a Monte Carlo simulation. But so that's part of their argumentation strategy. So the way to confront that is to first remain objective. Okay. So objectivity and be matter of fact. So objectivity first. Second is to be matter of fact. And the third is to recognize or to acknowledge that they are unhappy, they are uncomfortable with the way things are, they are disturbed, they are at ill ease. And so acknowledge that, right? And that's a very, very powerful weapon that we have at our disposal as critical thinkers. Acknowledge that they are unhappy. Acknowledge that they might very well be unpleasant, and they are engaged in unpleasantries. Acknowledge the fact that they don't possess any humor. They are not lighthearted. They are not pleasant to be around, because they are always animated by negativity. So acknowledge that first and foremost. So before you even engage them, acknowledge that they are coming from a place that is unpleasant, coming from a place where they feel hurt, coming from a place where they are unhappy. So that's a very powerful strategy of how to confront them. And so don't confront them head on, because that does not work. They have all kinds of strategies waiting for you to attack you if you confront them head on. They will attack you personally. They will attack your community. They will attack your religion. They will attack your family members, on and on and on. They will attack you in a very vicious way. They know how to do that. They will shout you down. They will filibuster. They will do all kinds of things. So, and this, you know, and this goes all the way back to what we call, in the military, we call this maneuver theory. You never attack the enemy head on. Maneuver theory, in the way of attacking an opponent, is you never attack the opponent head on. You always go around. All right. Now, you don't stop ever. Okay. You keep moving, but you're always going around. So to be mentally agile is particularly important. And how do you become, or how do you develop this mental agility? This mental agility is developed through practice. This mental agility is developed by studying the art and science of critical thinking and complex problem solving. This mental agility is employed every day that you live. It doesn't matter what you're doing, to be mentally agile. And here's a hint, and it's a very, I think it's very important. And this comes from, you know, from my experience, dealing with these people and dealing with all kinds of mentally constructed individuals. Some have significant now keep in mind that you're in this battlefield of ideas, in this war of ideas, all right? The enemy that you are confronting is not stupid. Do not think that your enemy, now you may think that your enemy is misinformed about certain things, or that your enemy doesn't understand the power of individualism and capitalism, okay. But don't make the mistake that your enemy is stupid. The enemy is not stupid. The enemy is very clever, and it's significantly armed with a serious array of weapons. So don't ever make the mistake that your enemy is stupid. But don't confront your enemy head on. Don't confront the social justice warrior head on. Do acknowledge the fact that the social justice warrior that you have encountered is not happy. Do acknowledge that fact and recognize that they are coming from a very unhappy, uncomfortable place. And then go from there. Now, what you have done is you have not attacked them directly head on. You have gone around the side. And this is also called lateral thinking, which is a important component of critical thinking, is you don't think in a linear way. You think more laterally, or you think in non-linear terms. So the first thing is to acknowledge the fact that they don't feel well. They may very well not feel well about themselves. Now, they're not going to admit that, but you could raise that question as part of your argumentation strategy. And it would be raised something like this. I recognize the fact that you don't feel well. You are not happy. You don't feel good about your situation that you are find yourself in, and that you want it to change. And you have a method and mechanism by which you believe change can be implemented. You want to implement change. I understand that. And most of the change that you want to implement is going to be mandated change. You're going to do that by some legislative act. You're going to do that by passing certain laws controlling human behavior, and you believe that that's going to fix the problem. Okay, but what if it doesn't? What if it makes it worse? What is your escape plan? Now, that's where you've got them, right there. Okay, you have acknowledged the fact that they are unhappy. You acknowledge the fact that they are in dire need of an alternative reality. You acknowledge the fact that they already have a plan or the outline of a plan in place, and then you go from there and say, okay, that sounds, you know, I understand that you think that's a reasonable proposition, but what if it actually doesn't work? What is your escape plan? And if your social engineering initiative doesn't work at the national level by passing these onerous tax laws or whatever, what if it doesn't work? What is your escape plan? And then what is your sunset clause? Because the world is not static. The world is constantly changing. And so obviously you're going to need to have some kind of sunset clause in place, because whatever you think is a viable solution today may not be a viable solution tomorrow. Okay, so those are some of the thoughts that I have of how to confront a social justice warrior, or what I call a feminist-inspired social justice warrior. Jordan Peterson encounters these people all the time. I would recommend that you view some of his videos, some of these video clips, but look at it from a critical thinking perspective, right? Now, is Jordan Peterson a critical thinker? Jordan Peterson is a great thinker, all right? I would say that in a general sense, say that he is. In a classic sense, I would say that Jordan Peterson comes from the world of science and psychology, and so he's looking at it from a psychological and a scientific viewpoint, and that's okay. You know, he's a good, solid thinker, and I would not recommend anything different. He has become quite successful, and I applaud his success. I think he's bringing about some greatness in the field of thinking and arranging our mental apparatus so that we can think better. We can all think better with using his experience as an example. And so we'll leave it at that. And hopefully this has been helpful to many folks out there. So I have enjoyed putting it together. And now we are going to complete part one of this show and press on to part two. Okay, welcome back to Throttle Up. This is part two of Throttle Up. Thanks for sticking with us. I hope you enjoyed part one. I think part one is particularly important in today's environment as we confront these arguments, these leftist-inspired arguments, and how to deal with them in an objective way, not get Let's not get angry, but let's get organized. Let's organize our thinking so we can create a better set of arguments. We can create a better set of ideas in this marketplace of ideas. Okay, so part two is our storyboard. The storyboard today is, and we've talked about it before, so I guess you could say this is a continuation of a story that we discussed some time ago, but it's worth repeating with a little bit different emphasis and expansion to it. The story is a real event, happened to me, and it goes like this. After I retired from the Navy as a naval aviator and a Navy captain, I went to work for the airlines. And one of the things that I did, I was, in addition to flying airplanes, all the big airplanes, I was also employed from time to time as a problem solver. There were many problems that cropped up that were industry-wide problems existed within the industry, the targeted industry, but also in retrospect, it really applied to many industries. So one of the problems that we encountered was one in which it involved pilot performance and pilots going through a transition training program. Why were we experiencing as an airline some degraded performance? Why the pilots were not performing well, and why their training was taking an excessively long period of time, and what could we do about it? So I was asked by one of the senior executives to take a look at the problem and see what, if anything, we could do about it, how we could resolve this difficulty, how we could improve the efficiency and effectiveness of our training program, and how can we optimize human performance in the short period of time that we could spend in a training environment. So how could all of this stuff happen? And how could we put together a meaningful and an optimum training program to achieve optimum human performance? So we're trying to optimize two things at the same time. We were trying to optimize the training system, or let's say we're trying to optimize a schoolhouse experience, and then we're trying to optimize the output. So the output was not just another run-of-the-mill product, but it had to be, in this particular case, it had to be really quite good. It had to be optimized. So the product had to exit the schoolhouse and perform in an optimal way. And how are we going to be able to do such a thing? So as I entered this problem space, I began to wonder and consider such things as, okay, this is a serious problem. It is not going to be easy to solve. It is not even going to be easy to understand, even prior to coming up with a proposed solution. So the first order of business is, how do we go about understanding it better? How can we clarify the actual? How can we, me and the team I was on, how can we understand the problem in a way that can lead us to discovering or designing an optimum solution? And so here's where it all boils down to. If we are going to be able to come up with a good solution to this rather difficult, pressing, and very expensive problem, how do we go about doing it? And the first thing I would say that we should do is we should consider how we are going to do such a thing, not what we're going to do. In other words, what we first need to do is, and I'm going to use the terms here that we use in aviation, we're going to pre-flight our mental apparatus, pre-flight our cognitive system, if you will. So we have a brain. We have this mental apparatus that we could also call a cognitive system. Is the cognitive system prepared for this mission? And I would suggest that we all do this. We all ask ourselves that question. Is our cognitive system, is our mental apparatus, is our mental mechanism, they all mean the same thing, prepared for this mission? Do we have the right resources in place? Okay, that's the key. Once we understand that, then we have to create this environment. We have to create this platform by which we can achieve a viable, or a better way of saying that is that we can discover the optimum solution to the problem, which we don't actually know what the problem is at this time. We know that there is some difficulty. We know that there's a lot of symptoms out there, but what actually is the problem? And so before we even dive into that, we have to make sure that we have this cognitive system pre-flighted and we have optimized the processes that this cognitive system will employ. What are these processes and what is the thing that must be employed? How do we engage these processes? The first order of business is, and this is not very well understood, the first order of business is what I consider to be signal detection. What gave us the inclination, or what aroused our suspicion, or what alerted us that there may very well be a problem lurking somewhere in the business operation? What is or what was that signal? And so signal detection becomes crucial. And that's the first order of business. Now, notice that that's really quite different than a lot of the problem, the problem-solving initiatives that you may have read about or may have used. The first order of business is very, very key. And it goes all the way back to the beginning. What aroused our suspicion in the first place? What was it? And so what signal did we actually detect? Was it a real signal or was it a false signal? And that takes some thought, some consideration, and some investigation. And we'll continue this discussion because I think it's very important as we go through this this process, which I call the critical thinking process, which is explained in Critical Thinking Essentials Handbook that I have offered and that's available. But right now we are at the end of another Throttle Up. And before I go, I would like to acknowledge a few people. I'd like to thank my listening audience for being here. And I would like to thank Red State Talk Radio for providing us an opportunity for each and every weekend to put on this radio show that we call Throttle Up. And I would like to thank all of you veterans out there. Thank you for your service. And I would like to thank the families of the veterans. Thank you for supporting this noble cause. And I would like to thank all of you on active duty in the Guard and the Reserve. Thank you for serving this great country of ours. And with that, I would like to say goodbye, and we will see you all again next week.